He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is November the 3rd. It's Election Day, if you have not noticed. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we have a very buoyant day on the market here so far. That's the U.S. market. China, a lot of the Chinese stocks selling off, however, on a little bit of a setback for Alibaba there with their Ant Group IPO. We'll get to that in a bit. But right now the Dow is up 582 points. That puts it at 27,507. But, you know, it's been treading water for quite some time right here in this 27 to 28,000 area. Waiting for some further direction, some further clarity, clearer skies ahead. S&P 500 is up 60 points today. That's a 1.8% rise. 3,370 is where the S&P 500 is at. The NASDAQ participating today. It did not participate yesterday. The NASDAQ is up 1.5% today. The NASDAQ is at 11,121. Small caps having a good day. They're up 2%. Meanwhile, the oil markets, a little buoyancy there, $1.39 to the upside today on crude oil. That's a 3.8% move. That's a big percentage move. Gold is up $12 per ounce to $1,904. That's a good move. The gold stocks had a very good day yesterday. Up 0.6% today. Silver, which tends to be more volatile than gold, it's up 1.24% today. It's up 30 cents to $24.33. And let's see, last but not least, interest rates. Man, they're headed up. Have you noticed that? Bond market taking it on the chin a little bit here. We're at 0.89% today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, what is the big move? We had a big move in the Dow yesterday, but the NASDAQ did not participate. And as I looked across the sectors of the market and at the individual stocks yesterday, I came to the conclusion that it was a pretty weak move in the market yesterday, okay? It was pretty much the Chinese solar stocks, the Chinese electric vehicle stocks, and that's about where the leadership in the market was yesterday. Not exactly the bellwethers. And then some of the big, large Dow-type stocks also did well. But that's about all that participated in the market yesterday. Now, today, we have a much, much broader participation in the market. We have a very buoyant and optimistic market today. What is the market telling us today? Well, I guess the Trump folks would say, well, the market expects a Trump win and a continued comeback in the economy and fewer regulations and all, you know, the usual talking points and fewer taxes, corporate taxes ahead. And the Biden people would say, well, the market is looking ahead to better relations with China going forward in trade and a buoyant future for renewable energy, etc. So take your pick, whichever side you're on. Make up your own mind as to why the market is so buoyant today. Maybe the Fed is involved trying to make the market look good on an election day. That would be what the third guy would say. Hey, I'm just a money manager here. We'll take what we have today. We have a good day going on this first Tuesday in November. Did you ever think it would get here? You know, I just heard another ad for the local Senate race, and I told my wife, I said, tomorrow there will be no more political ads. Won't it be nice? Because it would seem these days every other ad. I read that the money spent on this election, which is obviously good for the radio stations and good for the internet sites, the digital marketing, and, of course, television has raked in the bucks here leading up to this election. Well, at least the campaigning stops today. The voting stops today, or does it? I guess they're allowed to count votes for several days after the election, but those votes have to be in by a certain time today. And what will the outcome be? You know, just listening to, I go to all the news outlets before I do my show every day. And, of course, I'm on the various news outlets every day, from Al Jazeera to the Jerusalem Post to the China Daily News to the New York Post to the New York Times to the Los Angeles Times to the San Diego Tribune, my old hometown, looking at all the different voices out there. And I think the voice that I hear the loudest right now is nobody seems to know what's going to happen. And the market would certainly like some direction. Okay, we talked about yesterday. It was a good day for the Dow. It was a very good day for the gold stocks. It was a very good day for the Chinese stocks, although they're having a tough day today. And tech absolutely was absent from yesterday's move in the market. The electric vehicle stocks had a very good day yesterday, especially the Chinese electric vehicle stocks, the NIOs and the NIUs and the Lees. You're going to have to learn all of these names because they're going to be major players going forward. A few of them, Boyd, another one. A few of them reported earnings or reported their sales yesterday, and the growth is really picking up. In fact, China says by 2035, electric vehicles should represent about 20% of the cars in China. So that continues to be a very fast-growing sector in the market. I would say a flourishing sector in the market. While the oil stocks flounder, the solar stocks and the electric vehicle stocks continue to fly higher. Well, Americans go to the polls today. I'm hearing about lines 1 hour long, 2 hour long. 99 million people have already cast their votes in person or by mail. The swing states like Arizona, Florida, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, very, very tight. It should be a very interesting election night. Around the world, pretty buoyant. You know, I think the world would just like to see this all behind them and have a little certainty and a little clarity on trade going forward, on who's going to lead, on what kind of economy the U.S. will pursue going forward. Hong Kong was up 2% overnight. India up 1.3%. Even Europe, which is going into lockdown, they've been getting some good economic numbers over there. You know, it's pretty clear that October was just a smoking month for the economy, not only here in the U.S., but also around the world. We saw big numbers coming out of Germany yesterday. Did you see the ISM manufacturing numbers coming out of the U.S.? Holy cow, what an October we had. And, of course, we had that quarterly GDP jump of 33%, which exceeded expectations by a wide margin. And I would also add into this mix what I went into depth on yesterday, and that was the veracity of the earnings reports coming in from corporate America, setting all kinds of records. 88% of the companies that have reported earnings so far have beaten their earnings estimates. The average is usually about 70%. If we hold up in these high to mid to high 80% numbers, this will be a record quarter for companies beating their earnings estimates. A Biden win is widely considered supportive for European equities on expectations of a bigger stimulus package. That's another one that they're weighing in the balance. Who's going to come out with the biggest stimulus package when this is all over. Asia Pacific shares up big. The thought there is, I mean, the consensus is that a Biden victory would be better for Chinese stocks. They probably, I don't think Biden would be as tough on China as Trump has been. And a win by Trump would continue to pressure Chinese stocks and the Chinese economy. The ISM manufacturing index, here's that number, 59.3. That was yesterday. That's the highest number since September of 2018. That's back when the economy was smoking. Does that mean it's smoking again? More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, if anything, this market has blasted off since we launched the show. The NASDAQ is now up 232 points, 2.1%. The Dow is up 659 points, 2.5%. And the S&P 500 is now up 74 points. That's 2.24%. What message is the market sending? Maybe it's just sending a message that, gee, maybe tomorrow we'll have a little bit of uncertainty out of the way. Maybe that's the message. I don't know. What's on the ballot here? Well, there's a lot. You know, you take a look at the different scenarios. Here's some different people weighing in on some of the what-ifs after this election. A so-called blue wave is the clearest path to a jumbo coronavirus aid package that would reinvigorate the economy after talks repeatedly broke down over the last few months. Well, you know, I've been saying for quite some time, the market is addicted to stimulus. It needs to get off the stimulus at some point in time, because at $28 trillion in debt, how much more stimulus can you afford? But you can rest assured that there will be, no matter who wins, there will be another stimulus package, and it will be a good-sized stimulus package, but they are saying that a blue wave would be the clearest path to a jumbo coronavirus aid package. Now, let's go to the other side of that coin. Looking beyond a near-term boost, that would be a temporary shot in the arm, obviously. A blue wave would also pose some worries for investors, and I've been talking about this for months now, such as the prospect of a potential corporate tax rate hike to 28% from 21%. Well, I think you can eliminate the word potential from that equation. I think Joe Biden has signaled unequivocally that he will take the corporate tax rate back up to 28%. That's where it was before President Trump came into office. President Trump felt that we were uncompetitive. Around the world, the average corporate tax rate is roughly about 20%. We were at 28%. So what did he do? He took it down to 21%. So I had to scurry. When all those discussions were taking place and it became very apparent that he was going to cut the corporate tax rate, I had to scurry. I had to build some pro forma spreadsheets and try to figure out what impact that would have on S&P 500 earnings going forward. And when all was said and done, I came to the conclusion that it would add about 20% to S&P 500 earnings. I was almost exactly right on. In fact, a few weeks after I came up with my new earnings estimate based on those tax cuts back in 2018, Goldman Sachs came out with their numbers, and their numbers were almost exactly the same as my numbers. And guess what? Those numbers ended up being almost exactly right when in 2018, the S&P 500 as a whole earned $163 per share, which was a record year for earnings. Now, unfortunately, during the year 2018, that was also the year of the tariff war between us and China. So we didn't realize that extra 20% in the market until 2019, when we had a phenomenal year in the market. And then, of course, we were hit by coronavirus this year. Now, it just stands to reason. It's just a logical equation. I'm a mathematician type of mind. I'm a spreadsheet guy. My mind's a giant spreadsheet, you know. Anyways, if Biden takes the corporate tax rate back up to 28%, doesn't it just make common sense that that would take 20% off of earnings of the S&P 500? What are those earnings for next year? The estimates right now are at about $168 per share. That's what the earnings estimates are for 2021. So if you stick a multiple of 18.20 on those estimates, you're going to get one target price. And if you factor in a 20% tax hike, or a 21 to 28% tax rate, corporate tax, that's going to take 20% from those earnings and would take 20% off of the S&P 500 target price. So that's just math. And in addition to that, you may see a capital gains tax hike also, which would be a negative for the market. So there's a couple of things to weigh out. I think the lockdowns versus keeping the economy open. One side wants to lock it down again and get control, so-called control over the coronavirus, and the other side wants to keep the economy open. What impact would that have on the economy? And the stock market. You've also got trade, the subject of trade, and I've said this before. A Biden presidency would be easier on China and be more favorable to the Chinese economy and Chinese stocks. And a continued Trump presidency would be more detrimental to the Chinese economy and the Chinese stocks. And, of course, it did spill over into our markets during 2018 when that trade war went back and forth. What would a win by either side mean for the big tech stocks? After all, this has been a market that has basically been led by about five or six stocks. The FANG stocks make up 48% of the NASDAQ. Both parties will likely continue regulatory pressure on tech companies. I think this is one of the few things the Republicans and the Democrats agree on. We heard Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders many times point their finger at big tech and how they've gotten so large, and how Amazon doesn't pay any corporate taxes, and how they've just become too big. They would be harsh on these big tech companies, so they say. President Trump has also said, in fact, before the election, a month before the election, what happens? He fires off an antitrust lawsuit against Google that they're going to have to deal with at some point in the future. And they're readying another lawsuit against Facebook. In addition to that, that rule number 230, which gives them immunity, would probably go away under either one of the administrations. And one other area up for grabs, healthcare. The winner of today's election will have a major impact on the healthcare stocks going forward. Okay, individual companies involved in all of this. When we come back, this is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio. Well, a little sobering statistic here on this election day. Firearms background checks. Check this out. Firearm background checks rose 60% year over year in October. In September, year-over-year background checks rose 61%, and in August, they rose 51.2%. It would seem people are loading up particularly on handguns. Handgun checks were up 81% during the month, and long gun checks rose 47.7%. All record numbers. What would a blue wave or a red wave mean for the regional banks, the financial sector? Well, the common thoughts there are that tougher regulation. I mean, look, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren haven't been real friends to the banking sector, to the financial sector over the years. And a tax hike, there's an analyst today saying that taking the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28 would have about a 5% reduction in the EPS for the banking stocks. I think that's a pretty conservative number. I think it would be more like 10%. Well, number one, I don't like the bank stocks to begin with. I would not own any of the big bank stocks today. They're in a very difficult environment. You have a very low interest rate environment, making it very difficult for them to make any kind of a profit margin on the spreads. As I look at my screens daily of the top 300-400 stocks in my database of 5,400, I just don't see any banks showing up other than a few. There's a few internet-only banks that are showing up that do SBA loans and things like this. In fact, one is one of the hottest stocks in the entire market right now. But as it applies to Citigroup and J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs and the rest, this is just not a good environment for them. Things would be even tougher under a Democratic administration, and under a Republican administration, things would be remain about the same, which hasn't been good for this sector because you have a very low interest rate environment. I mean, the only thing that's really keeping them alive are the fees they earn from mortgage originations, the fees they earn from some of these loans that the payroll protection loans, and the fees they earn from small business loans and things like that. Now, what's going on with the Chinese stocks, the big Chinese stocks, in particular Alibaba today, down $22 per share? Well, news broke this morning that Ant Group's blockbuster IPO has been fully suspended. Now, something happened, I don't know, but Jack Ma is being called in on the carpet before the CCP. There's something that they see that they do not like. Now, will it eventually go off? Probably, more than likely, yes. But in the interim, that's a little bit of a scare. That's going to be a blockbuster IPO. The regulators stepped in, not our regulators, the Chinese regulators, so it must really be bad. We don't really have any details what is going on, but that IPO of Ant Group, which Alibaba is spinning off, which is Jack Ma is a major player in all of that, not only has the IPO on the Chinese market been suspended, but also the Hong Kong listing, that IPO has also been suspended. That thing was expected to raise, or is expected to raise, $35 billion at a $310 billion valuation. When is the last time you saw a company go public at $310 billion? Of course, it's an existing company right now, but there's something there's some kind of problem, and that's got Alibaba. Alibaba's down about 6 or 7% right now. Also, NVIDIA's deal for ARM Holdings is facing issues in China. There's a problem with that one. Let's see how NVIDIA is doing today. NVDA, it's doing fine. It's up 2.6%. We own NVIDIA, believe it or not, in our dividend portfolio. NVIDIA has been a 38% grower per year over the last 5 years. It does pay a smidgen of a dividend, but that's enough for it to qualify to be in our dividend and growth portfolio. NVIDIA looks very good right now, even though there's trouble with trying to buy ARM Holdings, which is a big semiconductor equipment maker. You know, my wife and I have been on the road the last couple of days. We're almost will be home today, but we drove right through Augusta, Georgia, which I hear there will be a little golf tournament here later this month. Well, DraftKings heads to the Masters via a deal with golfer Bryson DeChambeau, an exclusive multi. You know, this guy gets all kinds of money just to wear DraftKings hat. How much would they give me to wear? I'll wear their damn hat around. You know, DraftKings, DKNG. Let's see how much that stock is up today. DraftKings is up 2.7%. It's back to its support level, actually. Anyways, they will be. You'll see one of the golfers wearing a DraftKings hat and making all kinds of money from just wearing the hat, whether he does well in the tournament or not. New energy vehicles to be 20% of China's total new car sales by 2025. I bring that up because we own a couple that were the biggest winners in the market yesterday. In our emerging growth portfolio, that's my single A baseball team. Call it double A. They're better than single A. They're double A. These are some of my hottest prospects for the future. That emerging growth portfolio is up about 23%, somewhere in there, for the year, while the S&P is up maybe 3 or 4%. And we own a couple of Chinese electric vehicle stocks. And yesterday was a great day for that sector. There's about 6 or 7 players that you ought to get to know. I've talked about them many times here on my show, one of them being the one we wrote about. Why don't you go to SeekingAlpha.com, where I'm one of the top-ranked stock pickers on Seeking Alpha. You can go to TipRanks.com. They rank guys like me. It's an independent ranking source. They never contact me. They never call me. They never say, hey, Bill, if you sponsor our website, we'll beef up your rankings. No, I never hear from them. It's a totally independent ranking. I'm ranked in the top 2% of all the writers on Seeking Alpha with the stock picks, not on my writing skills. I was better at math. I did much better at math than I did on the English part. Back when we had to take those darn SAT tests and ACT tests and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, this is just on the stocks that I choose to write about. I don't write about just any stock. Every week I try to pick one that I think is the best stock I could possibly write about at this point in time. And they measure my performance versus the S&P 500. The site is not called Seeking Alpha for nothing. They don't want a guy that performs as a market performer. They want some doggone alpha. They want some performance above and beyond what the market does. Well, you can go to Seeking Alpha and look up our most recent article, maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, somewhere in there, on our favorite electric vehicle stock at the current time. The only hint I'll give you, it's not Tesla. What's going on with Nikola these days? You know, that was an interesting story, and it seems like there's a lot of fraud there. We'll find out someday. Well, Wedbush is weighing in. Dan Ives, he's one of the more knowledgeable guys. I mean, he covers Tesla, he covers Apple, and all the big high-tech stocks. What Bush Securities calls Nikola an execution and prove me story ahead of next week's earnings report. Well, there will be no earnings report from Nikola. There's no earnings. Not only are there no earnings, there's no sales. And now there's no CEO. Oh, they've got a new CEO. But what happened to Trevor? Where's Trevor? Anyways, it can happen from time to time. Fraudulent companies hitting the market. We'll see if it's for real or not. Lots of earnings pouring in when we come back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radar. We have liftoff. The Dow is up 622 points on this election day. The NASDAQ is up 218 points on this election day. While the S&P 500 is up 72 points. Well, there's a lot of stocks that I could feature today. We'll get to that here in a bit. I just wanted to go over a few earnings here. Wayfair, company that's never made much money, but definitely on the right side of the street as far as companies that are flourishing under COVID, companies that are not flourishing. They're on the other side of the street. We don't want those. Wayfair beats by $1.46. They beat on revenue. That stock is flying today. The symbol is W. It is up, well, 4%, $12 per share. PayPal. Okay, PayPal not doing so well. PayPal is projecting slower growth going forward. That's never good. You know, momentum is a fleeting thing. I don't care if it's in the sports world. I don't care if it's in the horse racing world, if it's tennis, if it's football. We've seen Super Bowls where one team had all of the momentum in the first half and the other team had all the momentum in the second half. Well, PayPal has lost its momentum. I still own it in my large cap growth buy and hold portfolio. But it is down 2.1% today. And why? What have I said time after time? Stocks not only follow earnings, but they follow earnings expectations. PayPal lowered their earnings expectations. They see earnings growth slowing in Q4. And as a result of that, the stock is down 2%. Well, I'm going to choose to feature a stock today that actually was a piece of this election year. It's part of one of the hottest sectors in the market. It's also one of these recent SPACs, special acquisition companies that are a backdoor IPO. Well, there was a SPAC called SPAQ, which eventually turned into the symbol RIDE. R-I-D-E. There was an old General Motors plant in Lordstown, Ohio that they converted, that another company actually invested in. And from that plant, they'll be building endurance electric pickups. RIDE. Now, this wouldn't be in a dividend portfolio. This would not be in a large cap growth portfolio, at least not yet. Maybe someday. You never know. This would be in an emerging growth, rookie league, you know, type of a portfolio. I do not own it yet, but it's definitely on my watch list because it has pulled back so much since the fervent, the little fever that President Trump brought to it when he did a rally from that plant and was shown with one of their endurance pickup trucks. I was just looking at Lordstown's website. LordstownMotors.com. The endurance pickup will cost about $52,000. The Ford F-150 Lariat four-wheel drive, they're comparing it, I guess that's the comparable, on the Ford side is about the same price, $52,000. I think my first condo cost about $52,000. Now you can buy a commercial pickup truck for that same amount of money. Well, anyways, if you compare the cost to operate these two trucks side by side, they have a nice little comparison, nice little graph comparing the two. Over a five-year period of time with the Ford, you'll have a $14,278 fuel cost. With the Endurance, you'll have a $5,200 fuel cost. You'll save yourself about almost 10 grand there in fuel because you're only using kilowatt hours electricity. Maintenance cost on the Ford F-150 Lariat, $5,000 over a five-year period of time. On the Endurance, the Lordstown Endurance, $1,800. And in addition to that, you still get a federal tax credit of $7,500, which you don't get on the Ford. So they claim over a five-year period of time, it will save you $19,178 to have the electric commercial Endurance pickup. Now, this is the sector that Nikola is going after, too, with their Wolverine truck, which is an unproven commodity so far. On the other hand, the Lordstown truck will be available late in the summer of 2021. So let's keep our eye on the symbol RIDE, R-I-D-E. They have 40,000 orders for this truck right now. This stock has pulled back from $32 per share, clear back to $14 per share. It's a $500 million company. Tesla is now a $320 billion company. So we'll make a RIDE, R-I-D-E, our featured stock of the day. It's not one that I own yet, but who knows? It may show up in my emerging growth portfolio at some point in the future. Well, on this election day, I will be watching the TV along with the rest of America to see what happens tonight and maybe tomorrow and maybe the next day and maybe the next day, who knows? But as a professional money manager, it obviously will have a big impact on the kind of stocks and asset classes and sectors that I focus on going forward, because there is a pretty wide gap and a pretty wide disparity between the two sides. And it will also have an impact on the big macro picture of the S&P 500 just from a mathematical point of view. Now, I've based my market calls over the last 13 years based on mathematics. It's all about earnings of the S&P 500. You can look at that graph over the last 13 years. When S&P 500 earnings are growing, markets follow right along. When they level off, markets follow right along. And when they start to shrink, like they did back in 2007, 2008, look out, because the markets always also follow earnings down just like they do up. This is Bill Gunderson. Get in touch with one of my advisors, 800-855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Go to the website, see how our portfolios are doing this year. Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.